To see you in the house of the Lord this evening. Church, would you stand with me? Choir, stand with me and turn over to page number 57 if you need it. And let's sing a few verses of Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
Sing on the second verse.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
No sense in leaving out a verse on the third.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
On the last.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no days to sing God's praise, and when we first begun.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And I just be much in prayer for the service. I think I've lost the battery. All right. How about that? Okay. But it is good to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight. And please be much in prayer for those that are unable to be here with us. A lot of graduations going on. Some folks traveling as well. So we just pray the Lord would be with each one, keep them all safe. And but it's good to see you here tonight. Well, let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service this evening. And I just pray that please remember all the prayer requests that have been given. Make sure you get a bulletin to keep up with everything that's going on. Pastor, anything I need to share? Are we good? All right. Next week, I believe, is Memorial Day weekend. And so please remember all those that might be traveling for that as well. And it is just good to be in His house tonight. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Father, we love You. We thank You for the opportunity we have to be back in Your house this evening. And Lord, I pray that You just, Lord, fill this place with Your Holy Spirit would be our prayer. And Lord, I pray that You would bless the offering tonight. You know exactly what is needed. Lord, many are traveling and many are away this evening, and pray that you would be with them. Keep them all safe, Lord, be our prayer. Be with our pastor. Speak through him, Lord, what we need to hear. Touch someone's heart. Draw us closer to you. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Brother Jeff. I know that was a blessing to the church tonight. All right, choir, let's sing. What a day that would be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, and no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, and no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. By the hand and leads me through
sing tonight. I just feel like I need to talk just a minute. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm in kind of uncharted waters right now. But you know what? I found out something a few years ago. They don't nothing take God by surprise. Amen. He's never been in uncharted waters, and when he was in uncharted waters, he's on a boat one day, and he stepped up and said, "Peace be still."
Right.
Did he not? Yeah. Nothing surprises God. But you know what? It surprises us, and we let us make a big deal out of it. When the truth of the matter is, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
And he's always going to be here. He's always going to be with us. I want to sing this song for y'all tonight. I know y'all have heard me do this a thousand times. But I'll just be honest with you guys. This is how I feel about my life. This is how what I feel God has done in my life. Don't know if it means anything to you or not, but see, I wasn't nothing but an old broken piece of worn out clay. I done had every mistake, and I've made every mistake in the world you could have ever thought about making. But yet God said, "I ain't done with you yet. Excuse me, I'm not done with you yet." And he took and he pushed that clay back into the potter's wheel and began to mold and to make it and to shape it into what he wanted it to be. Not what I wanted to be, what he wanted me to be. And to make all of us a vessel of honor. You know what that means? A vessel that's able to be used. Not a pretty flower vase that just sits around and does nothing but collect dust. Not just a pretty little trinket on a shelf. But I'm talking about a pitcher that you can put sweet tea in. What can I think of? Be able to serve it to your guests or your family or your friends.
Yeah.
A vessel that can be used is only once a vessel of honor. Ones that are broken, when you had to glue back together with Elmer's glue or super glue, whatever, you ain't going to put nothing back in that to try to use it. It's going to leak. It's going to fall apart. But a vessel of honor, a vessel that God can use, that's what I want to be. That's what I want our church to be. That's what I want our church to be tonight. I want y'all to pray for me as we try to do this today. So scarred.
sir. Yes, sir. What a blessing. What a blessing. Hope everybody's had a good day today. And we're right on the threshold of a brand new week. And hope everybody has a good week this week. I want to bring something very simple tonight. Probably won't be very long, but going to be very practical in our approach tonight. I would like to ask if anyone has a word they'd like to share before we get started. Anybody at all? Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Anybody else tonight got a word? Absolutely. Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Brother Harold. Someone else have getting ready to put a hand up? You got a word of praise? You got a prayer request? Anything tonight? Just let it be. Let it be known.
Pastor, I have a prayer request.
Okay. We will do that. Someone, Brother Allen, stick a hand up or someone remind me. Sometimes I get so caught up in the message. Ceylon? Amen. Yes, sir. ACLU. Thank you so very much. Anyone else? Miss Darlene. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody got any unspokens tonight? Unspoken prayer requests? You don't want to mention it, but God knows you got something on your heart. He sees them all. He knows them all. Amen. Anyone else? All right. Well, if that's all we have, if you have your Bibles, please take your Bibles and make your way to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Again, we're not going to be long tonight. I just want to share something with you that I feel is so relevant. And to all of us here in 2024. And it's a for sure battle. For sure battle. And that is the Christian mind. The Christian mind. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read verse number 3, 4, and 5. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time. Thank you, Lord, for CLU ladies who offered up prayer this afternoon for our church. That sweet hour of prayer. And thank you, Lord, for all of these who have shared their hearts tonight, words of praise, but also prayer requests, Lord, and even the unspokens, God. We just submit all of these things to you. And Father, I pray tonight that you just use us in this short amount of time to be a blessing to your people. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are going to stop there in verse number 5. We could continue on, but we'll stop there. That's 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 3, down through verse number 5. Again, just for a few moments, I want to talk about the Christian mind. We don't have enough time to properly expound on the subject. You can approach this subject in many different ways. But I do want to say tonight that Paul is dealing with the mind here, the mind of the believer. The mind tonight is not saved. Our hearts are saved. And so the challenge is getting our minds and hearts in one accord. And that's a challenge, definitely a challenge. And many times when I pray before I teach on Wednesday nights or preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'll say something like this: Lord, please give me a clear head and a calm heart. I struggle getting the two in one accord. And it's a challenge. Tonight, I want to mention three things out of these three verses. But first, I want to give you some statistics about the mind and about struggling mentally. I read where, out of all Americans, and this is within the past 12 months, that anxiety, at least 41% of Americans experience anxiety. And I feel like it's higher than that, actually. 41%, that's almost half of Americans experience loads of stress, anxiety. Anxiety can be defined as the feeling of suffocation, like you're suffocating. You can't breathe. Like someone said one time, it feels like an elephant is sitting on my chest. My airways are restricted. And I want to say this is a real thing tonight. Many people suffer from anxiety, and I just want to be honest tonight. I feel like if I'm honest, then it helps those that are listening. In my family history, on my dad's side, there's been decade after decade, those who have suffered from anxiety. And sometimes anxiety is hereditary. You can have it if your father had it or your mother had it. Someone on one side of the family had it. You can have it. And so I have that. I have that struggle in my life. Everything can be going fine. Everything can be going well. Yet there's anxiety that I have to deal with. And so I feel like tonight that I'm not the only one who suffers with anxiety. Sometimes anxiety is not necessarily a hereditary thing as it is a circumstantial thing. You can be going through a hardship. You can be going through a difficult time and not knowing the outcome. Not feeling like you have resources that's sufficient can bring anxiety, can bring stress. And I do want to say that if you have ever experienced anxiety or stress, please get it checked out. Some preachers would say that if you go to the doctor for anxiety, you're not spiritual. Well, I guess I'm not spiritual. There's times where I have to talk to my doctor about my problem that I have from time to time. And that's why God gave us doctors, that we would talk to them. And there's medications for anxiety. All of those things are fine tonight. If you suffer from anxiety, get help concerning your situation. But 41% of Americans suffer from anxiety. And this is a cousin to anxiety, but stress. 39% of Americans deal with stress daily. I really don't know of anyone who doesn't deal with stress. Even our teenagers deal with large amounts of stress. And then there's some who have depressive phases of life. 30% of Americans go in and out of depression. There's a difference between discouragement and depression. Discouragement is when you lose courage to go on. Depression is when you can't go on. And it's a very dangerous place to be. It's a very helpless feeling to be discouraged, but more so than that, depressed. Depressed. There's the feeling of loneliness and social isolation. 28% of Americans have the feeling of loneliness, and they isolate from socializing with others. Social anxiety is a real thing tonight. Everybody that walks in church is just not okay with being in crowds. And I know sometimes we're hard on those who watch only on Facebook, and we're not trying to be, and we can thank the pandemic for that, is that a lot of people stay home now. Some stay home because they have to physically. Some, they just prefer to stay home. But there are some who stay home and watch church online because of social anxiety. And let us not ever knock anyone for having social anxiety. Let us not ever knock anyone at all for having any kind of anxiety tonight. 26% of Americans deal with mood swings. And not only mood swings, but 23% of Americans deal with phases of sadness, that melancholy kind of spirit, or that feeling where you wake up or some part of your day, it feels like there's just a dark cloud over your head. You're sad. Circumstances aren't changing. You feel like you're spinning your wheels. This is a real thing tonight. And I think in the Baptist church, we need to expose this. I think we need to talk about it, because more than just a few people suffer from anxiety and sadness, depression, and discouragement. Then there's 20% of Americans who suffer from panic attacks. Panic attacks are very real. Panic attack is all, having a panic attack is also the feeling of claustrophobia. You can't breathe. Your chest is heavy. You feel like there's no way out. Your situation is not going to change. You just feel like the walls are closing in. This is a terrible thing to experience. I don't know. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if anybody's ever experienced a panic attack in the room tonight. They're very real. I can remember one time back where I used to work. When I first got saved at Florida Irrigation, a good friend of mine, I recommended him, and he got on at our company. He was working with us, and he had an anxiety disorder. And I remember on one occasion he had this anxiety attack. I thought he was going to die. He couldn't breathe. He was hyperventilating. The ambulance had to come, and they were able to give him some medication. But these things are real, panic attacks. 20% of Americans deal with struggles with self-esteem issues, confidence issues. And our world is not helping with that. We get pumped through our radios and our televisions this picture of the perfect person. You got to look this way. You've got to have a lot of money. You've got to live in a big house. You've got to have a nice car. You've got to have 1,000,001 friends. You've got to have 1,000 Facebook friends. You've got to have likes and hearts on your Facebook page and all of that. And when these things don't happen, we struggle with self-esteem. And so that's a real thing in our world today. Not only that, but these phases of lethargy, being lethargic. You wake up and you're just zapped before the day ever starts. Mentally, you're zapped. Physically, you're zapped. And a lot of times, the mental aspect zaps the physical aspect. Sometimes, the physical aspect zaps the mental aspect. And so, many people are lethargic today. 8% of Americans have different phobias. And then 26% claim they have none of the above. Those are just some statistics when it comes to the makeup of the mind and how we are here in America. Now, let me mention this to you. There are some Christians in the Bible that have struggled mentally. And also, potentially could have struggled because of their situation. What about Hannah in the Bible? Hannah wanted a baby for a very long time. And Hannah prayed for a man child. And Hannah wanted this child, and yet I forgot her name. It doesn't ring a bell right now, but the other woman had a child. And she would taunt Hannah because she couldn't have a child. And she would ridicule Hannah because she didn't have a child. Think about that for a moment. Think about the mental strain on the brain wanting to have a baby and can't. You know, so many people in this world want to have kids but can't. And the whole abortion thing, being pro-choice, is so sickening. We are to be pro-life. Why have an abortion? Why don't you just give your baby up for adoption if you can't raise that child? There are so many people that want children. So many people. Hannah wanted a child. But then what about Elijah, who at one point on top of Mount Carmel, he called fire down from heaven. And all of that, and it consumed the sacrifice, and God showed up in a big way, and then shortly after that, he was on the run from Jezebel. Remember that? And he wanted to die. Elijah suffered burnout. And we know that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and told him to take and eat, for the journey is far greater than thee. You know what? That rings a little hope in my ear. When that angel of the Lord said, the journey is far too great for thee, far greater for thee, that told me something about that story, that God wasn't done with Elijah. Elijah, I still have a path for you to walk down. I still have a journey. This journey is much too great for thee. Take this food and eat. Tonight, no matter where you're at, you might have anxiety, you might have fears, you might have concerns, you might have worries,
You may be at a place of burnout. But can I say Jesus is not done with you yet? You say, Brother Justin, how do I know that? Because you're here. You're alive. And God has a purpose for you. We all experience troubled waters, and we all experience emotional pain from time to time, physical pain. We're all in this thing together, church. Let us encourage one another. Let us break the ice and talk about how we feel, and let us share stories and uplift one another. Let us not be an island all to ourselves, but let us counsel one another. Let us share things together and help one another. That's what the Lord wants tonight. What about Job, who lost everything that he had? He lost everything that he had but his faith. Faith will always be there to catch you. Praise the Lord tonight. It was Job's wife who was crushed mentally. She, think about it, losing all of your kids and really the home and the cattle and all of that really didn't have nothing to do with her financial and emotional pain. It was the children. But all of that together, she said, curse God and die. Listen, we're not throwing stones at Job's wife tonight. I could not imagine even losing one child, much less all children. And so she had an emotional breakdown. She had a breaking point. And we know that David had his emotional times. And then we know Jonah at one point in his life, he wanted his life to end. All of these things, you can go through the Bible and find that the characters in the Bible, these real people, men and women, boys and girls, had emotional challenges. The heart is saved, but the mind is not. If you are struggling mentally tonight, you are not alone. You are not alone. The great Charles Spurgeon, he struggled with depression due to prolonging physical pain and illness. He got to a place where he felt like a burden to his family. He got to a place where life was too much, yet his faith caught him, and he continued, although he had a dark cloud over his head. I can't recall tonight who it was. I was trying to think this afternoon, but there was a great Christian, maybe late 1800s, and he would preach and he would preach, and then he would go home and he would go into his office and he'd just stay there and stay there. His wife would come and check on him and say, honey, is everything okay? And he just acted like there was a death, like a death occurred. And so finally one day, if I can remember how the story goes, she dressed herself up, Brother Harold, in black, had a black veil over her face, and she walked into the room, and he said, why are you dressed like that? And she said, because by the way you look, it looks like God's dead. It looks like the Lord has died. In other words, let's get out of this dilemma. Jesus is alive. He will help you. And so all of those things. And see, many times people will associate mental illness with sin. Well, they're doing drugs or they're doing something bad and it's weighing on them. But many times there is disability mentally, and this allows God to display his glory in people's lives. Think about the Apostle Paul dealing with the thorn in the flesh. We mentioned, I believe it was last Wednesday night, and he wanted that thorn to be removed at least three times. He did not give up on prayer because God did answer him. It was the third time. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And you see, that was good enough for Paul because it showed that God still answers prayer. It may not be how we want him to answer, but he does answer prayer. And if it doesn't go the way we want it to go, God will supply grace for us to keep going. In fact, the Bible teaches there, the thorn in the flesh. Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so God's strength was made perfect in Paul's weakness. And tonight, I personally don't like anxiety. I don't want to deal with it, and I know you don't either. But many times when we are so vulnerable, we are much more depending on God in our life. And so we see this subject of the Christian mind. Let me mention three things to you, and we'll be through. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. In verse number 3, we see the warfare. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And so this verse tells us tonight that though we are walking in mortal bodies, we are walking in flesh, our battle is not after the flesh. We're not so much in a physical battle as we are a spiritual battle. Tonight we are experiencing spiritual warfare. You say, Brother Justin, why is it so hard to be a Christian? I'll tell you why. Because of spiritual warfare. Now, I will say, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the lost person is the hard life. The Christian life isn't hard compared to the other life. Let me just say this. The Christian life tonight is impossible, because we need Jesus to live it through us. In saying that, we are in a warfare. Why is this happening in my family? Why is this happening at work? Why am I going through this? I'll tell you why. Because it's the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. Ephesians chapter number 6, I'll just give it to you. In verse number 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There's an enemy after you tonight. The Bible talks about three heavens. There's a first heaven, a second heaven, a third heaven. And the first heaven is the atmosphere. You walk outside, it's the air. It's the birds in the sky. It's the skies that you see. That's known as the first heaven. The second heaven is known as outer space, the planets, stars, moon, all of those things. The third heaven is the abode of God. The abode of God, where God abides, where Jesus is at. Now, this first heaven is the atmospheric space that we live in. And according to this verse over in Ephesians chapter number 6, it's in reference to that. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Places of rank, places of authority. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. Sometimes I think about internet and I think about the airwaves. I've said this before, mentioned this before, that there is a real unseen battle taking place tonight, even right here in this room. Now, I think about internet and I think about how that you can pull up anything on your phone or TVs, and that's a neat thing. That can also be a very dangerous thing. Amen. But, I mean, right now, in the atmosphere, there is sports taking place. There's anything on TV. There's cooking shows. There's movies. Right now, there's murder taking place. There's robbery and thieving and all those things taking place. And it's the only thing you need to be able to see that is a device, a receiver. It's in the airways. You just need a receiver to pull it in to watch that sports game. In the same way with spiritual wickedness in high places, there are the devil and his demons have rank in places of authority. Again, he's the prince of the power of the air. And so tonight our battle is that of spiritual wickedness in high places, and it definitely frustrates the Christian mind. The warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare, not a physical warfare. Not only do we see the warfare, but then let's look at the weaponry. The weaponry in verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I can't get a gun tonight and shoot the devil or his demons. If I could, I would. I'd be John Wayne. I would do that. And so we have to fight him. We have to fight wickedness in a very different way. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so our weaponry is spiritual. Spiritual. It's through God we're able to be an overcomer. It's through God and the Holy Spirit in His enablement we are able to live a life of victory day by day. Back over in Ephesians. Go ahead and make your way to Ephesians now this time. Ephesians 6, verse number 13. We have spiritual armor here. Ephesians 6 and verse number 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, in having done all to stand. You say, well, the devil hasn't messed with me today. He hasn't messed with me in a while. There's coming an evil day. You better rest assured there's coming a day where he will knock at your door. And the only way to stand against the wiles of the devil, against his schemes, the Bible says, is taking the whole armor of God. And having done all to stand. He says, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins girt about with truth. This girdle, this sash, this long flowing robe that has a belt around it, and you're to bind up the long flowing part of the robe so that, as back in the old days, the Gretchen games, they would tuck that robe in their belt and so that they could run. And so he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The truth of God's word. We need to digest God's word. We need to embrace God's word and be ready to refute the devil's attacks by the truth of God's word. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's the armor of God. The armor of God is the identity of God. And so it's literally every day taking off the old man and putting on the new man, involving Jesus in the equation, appropriating truth in your life. The weaponry, it's a spiritual kind of weapon that we're to use. And so we see the weaponry, but then I want to mention this. We see the way. How do we deal with it? What do we do? Verse number 5, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We know our weapon is the Lord, but in a practical way, how do we control the mind? Number 1, by casting down imaginations. Casting down. The words here, casting down, means to take down. It means to demolish, to destroy. You and I can't get ourselves out of our dilemmas, but we can, through God, get ourselves out of dilemmas. Casting down, destroying imaginations. That word imaginations means reasonings. It means thoughts. Casting down imaginations. Casting down reasonings. casting down thoughts and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Any thought that is lifted up above God and His Word. Any thought that enters your mind that is contrary to God's Word needs to be cast down. Can be cast down. Casting down imaginations, casting down thoughts. He says, in every high thing, the words high thing is a reference to barriers, things that are a barrier between us and the Lord. We can cast or demolish those things, those thoughts, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. God tonight's telling you you're not going to make it. God, the devil tonight is telling you that you're not going to make it. The enemy is telling you tonight you're not going to make it. The enemy is telling you tonight your kids aren't going to make it. You're going to lose your job or you're going to faint and not be able to recover. The enemy is telling you that. Well, God is telling you tonight you are going to make it. In fact, he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I may be weak right now, but I'm getting stronger because Christ is strengthening me. And all means all. I can do all. All things He wants me to do, I can do. And so that's my reinforcement. That's the way I deal with it. I cast down those imaginations. I refute every high thing that is elevated against the knowledge of God. Everything is contrary to God. I check it in my mind, and if it's contrary to God, I say, no, no. That's not God speaking to me. That's the devil speaking to me. That is my unredeemed mind speaking to me. That is the makeup of my body speaking to me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I am an overcomer in Him. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Nothing. Nothing can be against us. Casting down imaginations or thoughts and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And so the way to deal with this Christian mind is by casting down imaginations, but then bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity. That phrase means to lead away captive. The word thought is what it means, a thought, a perception, an idea. Anything that enters your mind that is contrary to God in His Word, we are to arrest it. You're coming with me. No, I'm not going to believe that. You're coming with, I'm taking you captive. I'm bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to be obedient to Christ, and He wants me to bring this thought to captivity, and He will enable me to do that. I am arresting this thought that's bringing me anxiety. I wonder if we need to send out some warrants tonight for some thoughts that need to be arrested. What is it that's causing you anxiety tonight? What is it? Maybe you need to refute those thoughts with the truth of God's Word. Circumstances change, people change, but God's Word never changes. We can take His Word to heart and we can stand on His Word, bringing into captivity, leading away every thought, every perception, every idea to the obedience of Christ. Now it takes practice. It takes practice. How many times have you came to the altar and how many times have you prayed at home and you wrestled and you gave it to the Lord and you had that sense of peace come over you that Philippians talks about? And then in no time, it's back. And so you go again and you do your best. You remember Scripture. You tell God the situation and then you give it to Him and then it's back. It takes practice. And then hopefully and prayerfully through these times of practicing, casting our cares upon Him and casting down imaginations, we can start to experience a little bit of victory. It takes practice. The Christian mind tonight has to be in unison with the heart. And the heart has to be clean. The heart has to be right. And so we are in a challenge. A lot of Christians are just frivolous with their Christian lives. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But there's never any putting in of God's word. There's never any intimacy. There's no abiding with Him. And because of that, a lot of them are not in church tonight. They're not close to God tonight. So we see that we have the way here, casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity. The Bible says, every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the way. We talked about the weaponry in verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We talked about the warfare in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's the lesson tonight. The message is just the Christian mind, again, is something that needs to be talked about. And it's not being talked about that much in Baptist churches because there's a stigma to it. There's a feeling of shame and embarrassment. But don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. We're in this thing together, all of us are, and we're here to help one another. And the Lord can lead you to a place of freedom in your life. Mentally. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you. I pray you'll give liberty during this time of invitation if someone needs to come and pray. Help us, Lord, to just strive to have a great week this week and lean on you for our every need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We'll give a verse of invitation. If you need to come, please come tonight.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay.
Anyone?
Mold me. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
That's good. That'd be enough singing tonight. Thank you so very much. Thank you for being here. And CLU again, thank you for your prayers. We're going to have a time of prayer, wouldn't we? I tell you what. Let's do that. Let's have a time of prayer. I am going to ask Ceylon. Ceylon, would you lead us in prayer? Would you like to come up and just take us to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight for the things Brother Allen mentioned, of course, the direction of our church and